Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
All righty. Welcome back, everyone. It is Suzanne Worthley here with my co-host, Kim Hess. Hey,
hello.
Kim.
Hi.
We've got another episode for you all of Energy Unleashed. This is where we take a look at some of my own personal client sessions as an energy practitioner. And I bring forward some of the information that I get over, you know, the weeks. I find it's so weird. I find commonalities or I find trends being a practitioner. And one of the trends that we're going to talk about today is kind of surgery, basically surgery and hospitals and the situation of that, because it is so important for us to understand that there's a lot more going on in terms of the energy field when we're talking about surgery. So I'm going to kind of go into this a little bit, and then we're going to bring Kim in and unleash it, or, you know, dig into this a little deeper. So basically, I have seen in the last couple of weeks, gosh, I've had people actually have regular surgery, for example, like a rotator cuff. I've had people having, oh, I'm replacing my pacemaker, or I've had really deeper surgeries in terms of I'm actually removing something quite extensive from my body, meaning like, oh, I'm having, especially for women, I'm having, you know, my hysterectomy. Or, and in one case, I actually have had, well, actually more than one, it's been a couple, where I have had a client that's had an entire organ transplant. So regardless, I think what is so important is that we look at this from an energy standpoint. Again, when we're talking today, take what resonates, toss anything that doesn't. We're not here to tell you your truth. But I just want to kind of blow this open a little bit, because I've been seeing, I think a lot of people are having more surgery, I think is what we're getting down to. So,
well, right, Kim? I mean, it's kind of strange that, well, maybe this is it, but during COVID, they weren't doing a lot of surgeries. And then people were probably, I mean, you look at how many people couldn't get in to have major things done because it was all about COVID. And then the delay of getting back in and scheduling and not full schedules and the whole thing, I think it made things a little different. But also, I just, there's been a lot of heart surgeries in my world. Like, it's kind of crazy how much, like, heart valve replacements and hearts, and I don't know.
And stents, right now. Lots of stents and lots of ablations and lots of that. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think that's a really good point that you brought up, that COVID might possibly be why we're seeing sort of a deeper trend right now. Not to mention, COVID actually also put so much on the heart space. I mean, COVID in and of itself puts so much on the heart space, right? So in fear, right? So if we've been fear frozen for a couple of years, that's going to come forward as a dis-ease turned into a disease at this point. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So,
well, but the fear, not only the fear, but the isolation.
Yeah.
So then the actual fear of going in because you've been isolated and you don't want to be around people and you're, you know, afraid you're going to get sick. So, I mean, I'm sure people delayed what they needed to have done.
And I think that's human nature anyway, right? I mean, who wants to go in? Yeah. So first of all, I think one of the things that I have experienced as a practitioner is because I have clients that come to me and say, hey, I'm going to go do this in a week or whatever, I hold space. So what hold space means for people that are listening, basically, it's like a prayerful state of mind. And Kim, you do a lot of prayer. You can relate to this in terms of, hey, I'm going in and getting my, you know, rotator cuff done on Tuesday, the blah, blah, 17th. I start to hold space for that a couple of days prior. And then obviously during the time, especially if I have the actual surgery time, and then I hold space after that. So this is something that anybody can do. You don't have to be special to hold prayer space. But I think it's important to bring this forward to even start out of the gate with, because holding space or praying actually offers the highest and the best good outcome for that patient. And I think this is something that maybe everyone wants to kind of consider doing on behalf of anyone they know. When we're holding space, however, what I really want to bring forward is holding space in neutral, because if we're going to pray for someone to get better, in my mind of getting better, that might be different than their higher self's mind of getting better. Right. So it's important for us to understand that, oh, I'm doing this with neutrality in terms of the outcome. Not that my own self doesn't want someone to get better or feel better, blah, blah. But the outcome for the individualized patient is in alignment with their highest and their best good. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And quite frankly, my whole life up until like, I don't know, several years ago, it was always about praying, oh my gosh, take the cancer away or make them feel better and do all of the, like you were putting out there exactly what you wanted. And I didn't understand how impactful that is when you think about the whole consciousness of one, you know, yep. in that individual person and how they are in that consciousness of one. So
I learned that lesson way back when I wrote my first book. The Energy Healer's Book of Dying has a great case study in it about a dear friend of mine, Rick, and his journey with cancer changed my complete reality, actually, and my practice. And at the very beginning of Rick's journey, I was always praying for him to get better. And that meant, in my opinion, as a human that loved him, I wanted him to get through and over cancer. And what I learned very profoundly, and it's pretty detailed in that case study in the book, I really kind of got my butt kicked in terms of spirit saying, actually, it came through my husband. My husband channeled. It was so weird because Chuck never really is a channel. And Chuck came up into my room and he saw me really upset and frustrated because Rick had been getting worse and worse when I was getting indications he was getting better and better. And Chuck's face went really weirdly blank. And he had this automatic voice coming out of him that wasn't his own that said, Suzanne, what would ever make you think that your version of him getting better is his source's version of him getting better? And I was just,
my God. You had to be like,
what
is happening?
Right.
Yeah. And so it totally taken aback. Makes sense, though.
Rug just went boom out from under me and I fell down going, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed right now in terms of it's all about me. I mean, that's right. That's what came forward. And Source's actual version of Rick getting better was dying. And I didn't understand that. And so that was a big one. So I really would like to start out with that because this is not about us when someone is having a journey, whether it be a surgery, a sickness, or God forbid, a life-altering situation. So keeping that ego in check, I think, is first and foremost. And this is something we sort of forget very easily because we want them here.
Absolutely. Right. It's about us and our feelings for sure.
Right. So let's take something kind of simple. I'm sure my sister's fine with me telling this. She actually did a rotator cuff surgery a couple of years ago. And, just torn, I think it was from softball, et cetera. Anyway, those aren't horribly difficult surgeries, but they're not, easy either because you use your shoulder all day long. Right. And I, again, started to set the format of the prayerful space before surgery. And I actually physically went with her. This is a couple of years back now. This is when I was so aware of anesthesia. We do not understand how deeply our body goes into that drug state in terms of the energy field. The energy field holds that anesthesia because it's important, obviously, to not be feeling the surgery, but in a prayerful manner. And if you are the patient as well, it's critical for us to ask for assistance to move that stuff through at as rapid pace is acceptable. Meaning, again, for my highest and best good, can I remove the lingering hangover of this anesthesia now as quickly as possible? Because what happens energetically is it hangs in our field and it doesn't have the capacity to almost like dissipate or transmute or transform as quickly as sometimes it can, depending on the surgery. Again, this is all, variables. But in her case, she was so out of it that I couldn't really have her assist with her healing until she was kind of back in her body. Mm-hmm. So as a healer, I was moving that anesthetic hangover out of her field as quickly as possible. So how does a normal person do that? Again, I don't think healers are any different than anybody, but we have intentional connections to this stuff to say, hey, can I do this? Any human being can say, hey, can I do this in co-creation with that patient's higher self. Can we move this hangover through quicker so that she or he can come forward and heal faster? Those are the kinds of questions that we want to ask of their spirit guides, their helpers, their angels, God itself, whatever your God package looks like, we can ask for assistance. We don't have to be quote unquote an energy practitioner.
Right.
Does that make some sense?
It does make sense. But so when it's hanging in your fields, is it around your, like, is it in your whole structure?
Yeah, it's kind of in that auric field where it's foggy, and it's mostly in our actually mental field. It's helping the physical field, but it's in that mental field as well, because our clarity can't come back, yeah, you know, right. And that's why everybody's so groggy. And now again, we don't want to pull this out the second they're out of surgery, because they need that time to heal. So this is why we always ask for help on highest and best. We always ask for help to say, do this as the highest version of this person or patient's body can do it, because we don't want to be in control of that. But we also want to offer the opportunity to clear it out as quick as we can, because we want that.
Anesthesia is like really triggered too for, like, I know when my son had his tonsils out when he was younger, and when my daughter's dog had knee surgery, emotions.
Yes.
Like, just can't stop, like, the emotions and the emotional.
And we're not in the actual physical body the same. It's a floating mm-hmm. out. It's almost like similar to sleep state and or meditative state, where we're not half in and half out. Okay. And it's kind of scary, because we can't get the mental field and the emotional field in alignment with that physical body. So mm-hmm. all I'm saying is that we don't necessarily want to control or maneuver that. We just want to ask, mm-hmm. asking source on behalf of this patient's highest and best, clear this as soon as it is to their benefit. Right. Okay. So this is important, because when we're back in our body, most of us want pills and or something to make us not feel the pain. That's an obvious human thing. But the pain is the healing, right? The pain is the healing. And so we're not going to put the body in pain, because that'll trigger other things. But we want that to move through at the most ease and grace pace possible, so that we can get back connected with that body, so that we can then work with the body in terms of healing it energetically.
Oh, that totally makes sense. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, for every person, it's a little different, but
yeah. The other thing that I think is super critical, and I do this with anybody that I'm aware of that's going to surgery, we talk a lot about that auric field. It's important for us to understand, when we are in the situation of a hospital, especially, and God forbid we're in Minnesota and we can go to places like the Mayo and, you know, Hennepin. These are big places that are churning through unbelievable amounts of bodies transforming, transmuting, all filled with fear, et cetera. It's critical for us to understand, going into these spaces and places with our auric field intact, so that we have a protection mechanism. And this isn't about fear. This is about self-preservation in terms of having that auric field intact, because there's a lot of spiritual entity energies that float through places like that, that are remnants of death, of fear, of all kinds of things. And so this isn't to make it all paranormal, scary, but we have fragmentation when we have horrible, awful things happen, and we can fragment. Let's say I had an awful, horrible situation and I actually died on the table or in the hospital. Parts of that fragmentation of my soul experience can possibly stay and not cross over with that body. And it can stay as a fragmentized, almost like not ghost energy, but a fractal of something that is sad and horrible. Those float. It's like floaters that are waiting in the hospital for a host, right? And those can jump in and attach themselves as a hitchhiker energy. This is why a lot of people that go through a hospital situation will come out feeling even worse, because they'll come home with negative energy attachments. This doesn't mean it's flying into their body. It's not as ooh-ah as it sounds, but it's more like a glommer on or to that field. And so if I'm trying to heal, I don't want to glom on kind of fractal of somebody else's pain, because it's not going to do me any good, right? So it's not as creepy as it sounds. It's pretty much just energy. It's light. So we want to make sure that we are really ramping up that auric bubble on behalf of ourself, if we're the patient, and or on behalf of our loved one or our knowing of a neighbor or friend or whoever is in that surgery situation. So again, this is prayer. I can see my friend in their auric bubble safe and in love and light and in their God source doing what they need to be doing without any attachments filtering in.
Right.
Okay.
I have a question. Does anesthesia, does that make you more vulnerable because you're not in your body and you're not with it? Like,
in my opinion, yes. And again, this is my opinion, take what resonates, but we are not in the body. So let's think of it as sleep state. many of us that do spiritual journeying and do a lot of this going in and out and going to different planes, a lot of times we will lock down our room before sleep state. And if we don't, sometimes we will bring back really horrible dreams, really horrible situations. I can have things come to my room, blah, blah. Similar, let's lock down the auric field before we go in, because I'm being pulled out like dream state when I'm in the anesthetic mode.
Right.
So again, so it's like
locking down the room, and maybe just describe that a little more for everybody to.
Yeah. Just kind of like thinking that it is like, I'm almost like shields down. I see it like a big garage door, like clunk. And so I will go, for me, I go east, south, west, north, up above, down below. So I make it more like a cube, even though they call it a sacred circle. And I lock down those spaces and I say, only for my highest and best good gets to come in here while I do this sleep state or this work or whatever. I actually lock down rooms for healing when my patients or my family members are going in. I lock down. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to the VA the other day with my husband because he ended up having to go into ER for some blood situation and I had to drive. And not being rude about the VA, but that's a really busy place in Minneapolis. I mean, like, it's so enormous and so busy and so over the top with pain and ugh. And I was locked down. Like, in fact, physically, I was almost in a fetal position in my chair because there was so much going on. I couldn't maintain. And the other thing that happens for highly sensitive empaths, which I am, I was in the room when he was having his procedure done and I turned off all the lights and he's like, what are you doing? They're going to think you're crazy. And I'm like, I don't care. I can't do the beeping and the sounds and the lights all together. So that's something to watch. Also, if you're sitting vigil or sitting with someone, the fluorescent lights alone can really attack the field. And so I calm everything as much as I possibly can so that everything goes with ease and grace.
Okay. Think about that. All the years that we sat under fluorescent lights in school.
Yeah.
Our kids, you know, everybody, the impact of fluorescent lights. Sorry.
It's so bad. I was literally at the National Dizzy Center not all that long ago from my rehab stuff, and they were filled with fluorescent lights. And I looked at the kid and I'm like, dude, do you not get that this is the reason why your patients are dizzy? And he's like, that's so funny because we know that. And yet that's what the building has. And so they tend to put like little saran wrappy kind of colored things on top of it. And I'm like, this is silly.
It's a frequency vibration thing, isn't it?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's really kind of funny. So that hitchhiker energy is something that we really do not want to freak out about and make it all paranormal, like a TV show, but we do want to be aware that hitchhiker energy loves places like hospitals because there's so much trauma. This is what we call luge or food for them. So the actual energies of sadness, terror, pain, whatever is like food. So when we're in those situations, keeping ourselves in that auric bubble and cutting any energy cords is very important. Mm-hmm. Cutting cords is also important if we're having a surgery and we are corded to people that I'm either having trouble with or even that I'm having love cords with. Love cords can also be severed because I want all of my energy. The love cord will go through the heart automatically, but I don't want to be corded to say, oh, I'm so scared that my kid might not make it through. So my energy cord of love, or so I think, is actually a fear cord.
Yeah.
So if my kid is in surgery or my loved one or my parent or my whatever, I don't want to be corded to that surgery in fear, thinking I'm loving them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that totally makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to cut those off. So cutting all cords before and after surgeries are very important so that I come back to my own auric field with full energy, right?
Are you the only one that can cut your own cords or can they be cut for you?
Anybody can cut a cord if indeed they're doing it again on behalf of highest and best.
Okay.
So always do that preface because if you don't preface that, the higher version of that person is accepting or not accepting. I can't go in and change their field without that kind of alignment. Mm-hmm. So if it's aligned with their highest and best, that higher version of themselves will be fine with that cord cut.
Yeah, I was thinking about somebody who maybe is unconscious for, you know, post surgery for a long period of time, you know,
you can do it on behalf of them as long as you're doing it with that unconditionalized And so the difference in all of this, Kim, is the conditionalization that's attached to the intention or the action.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Make sense?
It's totally.
Okay. Yeah. So hitchhikers, bubbling, cord cutting, all of that stuff is very important. If we do have a loved one come home and they had quite an extensive situation and we didn't do any of those things, what we're looking for in terms of hitchhiker is some personality changes will happen potentially. I may see my loved one come home with distinctive personality changes. And this can indicate a hitchhiker that's quite extreme. And again, I don't want to make this paranormal scary stuff because it isn't that scary. It's it gloms onto the field. And that can be removed quite easily with an intention and just a heartfelt chop, right? So we don't have to really freak out about this kind of a thought process. It's like a little just kind of clinger, right? So, but that clinger, if it's not addressed and or is very strong, can immerse themselves further and further into a field of that person, which then can start to alter either the mental, the emotional, or the physical field, which then alters the body. So remember, if I'm hitchhiking in that auric field and I'm progressively submerging more and more and more and integrating more that hitchhiker energy, I can then start to affect the body in those ways because I'm holding it in the field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, interesting enough, someone very close to me had a head trauma experience over 10 years ago, but they went to Hennepin County and her experience at that hospital, one, it's crazy and busy, you know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But when she got home, you know, there's certain things I'm sure after having a trauma like that, that you're going to go through not thinking it's anything more than my emotions, you know, a little anxious, a little fearful after going through a trauma. But within a week, she's like, somebody's watching me. There's something weird going on and there's nobody out there. Like, there is a feeling of, this isn't right. It's really creepy. And it's not me. And that was totally a hitchhiker.
Yes.
Which we figured out, you know, that was newly coming to you. I'm like, we need to go see Suzanne and see if there's something energetically going on. And sure enough, you were.
And it happens more than you think. It's not.
You're walking through it. And I mean, think about the serious situations going on in that hospital and the death. And
there's a lot of ghost energy in hospitals because think about how if that patient is dying traumatically, they're disconnected from their knowingness and they don't transmute fully to spirit because they're not understanding or they're stubborn or they're angry or all of the ors. There's a million ors or. And if they are, when the body actually dies on the table or in the bed, the body obviously is going to go away, but that auric field is still holding the consciousness with the anger. This is why we call them earthbound. This is why the auric field is still holding it as a ghost energy because there's too much negativity, too heavy, to everything in the auric field template. And that is what is holding the personality, the fuel, the whatever. This wants to find a new host. In terms of, because that will continue the feeling of being, right? Of being. And so I'm going to jump on a whole lot of stuff. That's why hospitals, in my opinion, I don't know why they don't have healers just walking the halls. There will be a day when they're just having healers walking the halls and cutting that stuff in 2 seconds. Or there will, in my opinion, someday be a protocol that says we're going to clear this room before we put the next patient in. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. You have the death and the trauma and all of that residual effect. And then you slap another body in there that's already traumatized. I mean, it's like a sandwich, you know, it just keeps growing.
If you're not in tune or in balance with you, like you said, your aura and you're not able to discern what's yours and what's something else, you know, that's super important.
If your loved one is so-called out still, right? You are the one that's sitting at bedside. If you have your auric field under control, you are the one that can know that there's something in that room because it's too heavy and there's sadness and it doesn't feel connected, et cetera, et cetera. So the more confident we become in terms of our empathing skills, it's really important for us to ramp those up as individuals, period. This isn't about being a practitioner. This is about being a human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So really important. The post-surgery work is just as important as the pre-surgery work in keeping that auric field. And now I'm home, for example, mm-hmm. and I'm so-called healing. This is also how people get attachments, because now I'm, you know, frustrated. I can't do what I normally do. I can't get up and go to the bathroom by myself. I need help. And we start to self-bash ourselves. So I'm not up to speed. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm out of work. And this is when that fear factor can also come in. So we want to be able to keep that field up. We want to be able to do really wonderful things to fill our soul. This day and age, a lot of people that are recouping will just plunk themselves in front of Netflix, which is fine. But, you know, in my opinion, not judging that.
I just thought more electronics. That. Like, what would you like to watch? Here, let's watch something with Satan. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Right? So more electronic stimulation is not always the key. You might want to, you know, find yourself looking at the tree out the window and working with nature. You might want to, you know, find yourself with a beautiful plant next to you, working with mother frequencies, grounding and working with that body in much more of a healing aspect. And this is, I'm not judging, I'm just giving options here, because if you want to plunk in front of a TV, that's fine. But it's understanding that your job at that time of post-surgery is to also be very clearly hanging on to your God source fuel, because that's what's going to help you heal, right? And so do your protocols as much as the medical world gives you, i.e. meaning your medications to keep your pain levels down, etc. But do more than that in terms of backing it up with holistic medicine and self-care, if you choose, because you will heal a lot faster. It's really important. Well, and that's important.
Where that, like you talked about the grounding, you know, bringing yourself in or locking down, but also prayer, because you release some of that fear and anxiousness, you know, just through that, or journaling, you know,
and you can talking to your body that I am with you. I am part of you. I've got your back. I just had two clients this week verbally say numerous amounts of times, I'm broken. This is broken. And I have this tendency to do that too. And I'm watching myself a lot more these days to take that verbiage out. When we say the body is broken, the body gets that message and then aligns to that message. And this is when we want to really work with the law of attraction in terms of, well, I can no longer walk to the bathroom by myself, but I am walking to the bathroom. I'm walking to the bathroom even if I'm having help. So what we want to do is we want to potentially flip the paradigm of where I'm putting that energy and really look into the positive aspects so that the energy in the universe is moving me in that direction. If I'm only sitting there, you know, pissing and moaning about the negative aspects, that's what I'm getting supported more of. So law of attraction
will take so much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the negative talk track in your head or out loud or whatever.
Yep. And that's why it's so funny. I just had a client recently also that said, you know, and then this happened on my left side, and then this happened on my left side, and then this happened, you know, and it was literally going up and down the body. And it's like, because the left side is your self-care side and you're not listening to the self-care and you're bashing it. So it just thinks that's what you want. So it does more. So we want to respect that the body is listening and we're directing it, right? I mean, this is us. So, okay. Now I want to move in a little deeper here and unleash a little bit of the aspect of organs, because this is something that I work with pretty deeply. When we have an organ removed or we have something put in, it's important to understand, let's say if we have an organ removed, if I have an organ removed, if my uterus was removed, if I have my ovaries taken out, if I have my whatever, one lung, okay? When that happens, I would like people to maybe open their thought process to the concept of there's still a blueprint in there of that organ. There is still like what we would call like an etheric, meaning energy-based outline or blueprint of that organ. And it's not there, but it's in there. So it is there. So it's critical for us to honor that space, in my opinion, as still being love filled. We're mad if I get my lung taken out because now I only have one to breathe with, or a quarter of my lung is gone. In my opinion, it's awesome to fill that with a beautiful love space of color, possibly, or maybe it's a flower or something, whatever your visual wants to do with that, so that it is gifted inside of us and still honors that space, because it is still recorded of sorts in energetic space. And it's almost like, you know, this is equivalent to their studies when we have a plant and or a tree, and we break off a piece of that plant and that limb. And energetically, you can still see the energy signature there. If you have psychic sight, you can still see the energy signature that's there. That's kind of like akin to what I'm talking about here. So offer, if you choose, that space, love, and healing, because most people are upset because something got taken out. So we want to replace that with still feeling whole. This is what takes that mindset from I'm broken or I'm lesser to no, I am healing and I am filled.
So if you're angry with your body, like you have something removed, like a lung, and you're just so upset and angry, and you, is there a forgiveness step in there?
It Does can be
for your body. It can. I forgive.
I think what you're forgiving is the process of the anger. You're not forgiving. Let's say my lung, you know, maybe I'm a smoker and I had to have part of my lung removed. You forgive possibly the concept of, we can go through the guilt of I did this to my lung.
Right.
I deserve this. I ruined myself. A lot of those guilt patterns I've seen in clients, and or I can be super pissed and I don't even care. I'm going to keep smoking. Screw you. You didn't show up for me, lung. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to this depending on the client and their belief system.
Well, and I suppose if you're in a traumatic accident, there may be forgiveness there for who, if you didn't cause the accident.
And who did what? Yep. So there's a lot of letting go.
Replacing it. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. A lot of letting go. And those are all going to be individualized depending on the situation. Like the accident thing you just brought up is a great concept. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can be forgiveness and love and letting go. Now, if we have an organ transplant, this gets even a little trickier because, which I've got actually a handful of clients have had, this gets a little tougher because every piece of our individualized essence holds our own individualized consciousness, mm-hmm. right? And so let's say I'm the one that goes through the traumatic car accident and I'm an organ donor and I am sitting in the hospital and I am consciously, maybe not there, but subconsciously am traumatized and I know what I've gone through and I'm in there somewhere. A lot of us, when we're unconscious, are still conscious to an extent. And we can hold that anger, or maybe I was an angry person in the beginning, right? So if I'm a fearful person, that's held in my kidneys. If I'm an angry person, that's held in my liver. So if someone's going to get my kidney, I'm going to be passing along that consciousness at the level that my kidney was at in fear. If I'm giving my liver, I'm going to pass on that liver with the level of consciousness that was at in anger. So now if my anger level is up here on the scale of 1 to 10 at an 8, because I'm a really angry person and I deliver that new kidney to a person who is open and doesn't have that frequency, there's a clash of frequency there. Yeah. So this is another thing to be aware of. And this isn't to be scary. This is to be aware to say, I would like to retrain my cellular structure and my body and my organs to communicate as one on the same frequency level. So it's like you're going to go on an old radio and you're going to turn all the buttons mm-hmm. to try to get the actual static to clear up so I can actually hear the music well. It's kind of finding that alignment and frequency. That's sort of what that is like. Does that make sense?
That is so amazing. I mean, I've heard about people having a transplant and all of a sudden they crave French fries or something. Yes. You know, like that they're taking in the cellular structure of that organ, you know, from that other person. And so that totally, I never thought about the emotional side of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing.
So now I'm going to freak you out even further. So if I am the one who's laying there and I'm brain dead and I'm angry, but I gave my organ. Okay. Now this body dies when my organs are gone.
Yep.
All right. And my organ transplants into that next person. So now this person has my kidney or my liver or whatever. So fear and anger. If I, as the person that laid in that bed, let's go back to what we were talking about, don't fully transmute back to source because I'm angry. And I was angry all along and I held anger. So now I don't transmute back to source fully as a spirit and I'm still earthbound. there's a cord connection to my organ that is still earthbound from my consciousness. Did you follow all that?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There's a mind screw, right?
It is.
And I'm not saying any of this to be scary. I'm saying take your power back. Right. If you were gifted enough to get that kidney or that organ, cut that cord. Yeah. Make sure that you're fully embodying with gratitude and love 100%. And you have the ability, because it's your birthright, to change frequency within your own container. You got gifted something that you're in charge of now. And even if that one is earthbound, I'm sorry, that's great. You do your own thing. But now I have taken the birthright of this consciousness and I have the ability and empowerment to bring it to my frequency and love. But if I do all of this in fear and ignorance, then we don't even have any control over any of this.
This is absolutely about awareness. I mean, not even knowing that this is possible, but now knowing it, it seems so simple.
Like, it's so simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And it isn't scary. It's just the beauty of the gift. I mean, there is such a beauty in sharing a gift. We share consciousness. Don't make this as scary as it sounds. We share consciousness all day long in the collective, right? I mean, I'm in your consciousness right now. So why would it be such a weird thing for me to have your consciousness inside of my actual human body if you were gifting me your organ? So let's not make this creepy. Let's make this exciting and loving and empowering, because I, as the receiver of this consciousness organ, have the capacity to bring it into my field. It's a gift.
So what about, what about something that you put in your body that's not cellular, like a hip
replacement? That was my next one.
Okay, oh, really? So sorry.
That's okay. Wait a minute. This is awesome. Ooh, and we didn't even practice that. My next one is let's put in an artificial intelligence. Something that doesn't even have a cellular thing, right? Which
like
is what
we're valve, like a yep. Like, okay, I'm gonna go one more step. What about a heart valve from a pig? Like, they have the you keep going. Sorry,
because we've got cadaver parts, we've got animal parts, we have AI in us, you know, and so this is why it's important for people to understand the concept of AI and how far does technology go in a great way. And how far does technology then cross a line? Mm-hmm. And this is where personal responsibility, in my opinion, as a healer, really needs to step it up, because a lot of people are like, oh, that's awesome. I'll just take AI in my body. Well, be very clear that AI needs to be embraced with, it doesn't have the cellular structure. However, in my opinion, again, we can lovingly bring that into our blueprint, meaning our own instruction set of our body, and envelop it in a loving way. And, or we can do that in a negative way, because we're polarized. We can do anything, right? We can do this or that. So if I bring in that so-called pig valve or that pacemaker. And so my dad got a pacemaker years and years ago. And when he got his pacemaker, I worked with him to infuse love into that pacemaker so that it almost literally breathed with him. The breath of life itself goes through that mechanism, much like it would if it was another organ. So it's changing the frequency and transmuting it so that there's harmony within the body. But if we're walking around with something that is non-cellular and is supposed to be helping us, and we haven't immersed that into the field, it always feels foreign.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so it's a discommunication within. And when we do
frequency that if you don't have like taken, it's creating like a radio frequency. It's creating a frequency too, that your body's not used to.
Especially the heart, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about a pacemaker, especially, like you said, it's.
And we do this with knees. We do it with joints. We do it with everything, right? It's not just the heart, but especially the heart. It's about that heart tone. So working with things like music, working with things that I'm envisioning, creative visualization, I'm sitting in my chair or my bed healing, and I'm enveloping that pacemaker or that new knee or that joint from, you know, steel joint or whatever, I'm enveloping it and infusing it with my own frequency. So it becomes one with me, not something inside of me. And so these are really important things to understand, because we can transfer that consciousness easy from something else. I can even take the pig consciousness. I mean, that's
what
really
I'm thinking about, like other animals or other, like you said, cadaver tissue. What I mean, there's all kinds of things that.
And this subject gets scary and scary as we clone and change and, you know, splice this and do that. I mean, we don't really necessarily know what we're getting into consciously when we're starting to play like this. This is kind of a repeat of Atlantis, you know, where we need to maybe look at this a little bit bigger as the human species before we go crazy with all this stuff. So these are all things, again, take what resonates. If this doesn't resonate for you, that's awesome and great. But if it does, ponder this stuff, because this is all about harmonizing your frequency and making sure that you're maintaining your field and understanding that this doesn't have to sound sci-fi, creepy, scary. It's just energy. So right. Yeah. And personal responsibility, man, I'm telling you, we feel sometimes when our body parts are having trouble and I have to rush in and I have to, you know, do this, that, or the other thing because the doctors are making me, we lose that connection of feeling I'm in control of my own life. And it's important for us to know you are still in control of your own destiny. It's coming from your higher self.
Well, I think we were brought up in the medical world to give control of our health elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just,
so is, take it back.
Right.
Take it back. And then lastly, I just want to bring in, we have the capacity in a lot of different ways to monitor, or again, I'm going to go full circle here, hold space for that person. My father, when he had his pacemaker just recently redone, it was supposed to just be a quickie. Oh, we're in, we're going to change out your batteries and you're going to be in and out in, you know, 40 minutes. And I was sitting in the room and it was, you know, 40 minutes went by. And it's really cool this day and age, because if you're the one, the family member that's waiting, you have the ability to be on text with the nurse or the doctor in the room, which I think is fascinating because then you're connected for information, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, geez, what's going on? It's been 45 minutes, haven't heard anything, you know? So me as a psychic, and this isn't to say I'm cool, I think we all have the ability to learn this in different ways. I just allowed myself to astral travel into my dad's surgery room and put my consciousness in his room to see what was going on, because my other sister, who is a surge tech, she texted me, oh my God, something must be wrong. He's been in there way too long. And I'm like, well, I'll get back to you. So I kind of popped my consciousness in there, and I have this ability to kind of float above and look at from a bird's eye view, kind of see the surgery and get the information psychically that he was actually having trouble because there was so much scar tissue. And I could see where the scar tissue was. So the actual mechanism wasn't sitting in his body the correct way. And they wanted to make that much more comfortable for him, et cetera. So it wasn't a bad thing. It was just taking a lot longer due to the scar tissue. And it was really cute to be able to have that feeling. Now, I'm not saying all of us can astral travel, and it doesn't mean we're cool if we can. It's just that going into your, maybe you have the ability to go into your inner consciousness sitting in that room and say, do I need to be scared right now? Or is everything okay? Do I need more information on this from his higher source, my higher source? Do I think in my heart of hearts that this is all fine? So it's not that we have to astral travel, but if you can, awesome, because it was really cool. And I could see the whole layout of the room and I could see the whole thing. And sure enough, 2 seconds later, the nurse texted and said, well, we're finding a lot of scar tissue, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, that made me giggle and laugh, and I was very grateful. The same thing happened with my mother in terms of my mom had some heart stuff go on, and she had a whole valve replacement years ago. What I did is I astral traveled into her surgery before she even had it. Now, this is a different thing. I went in and I looked at that surgery online. My surge tech sister gave me a link of this is how that surgery will look in mom. And I'm like, that's cool. So I had a visual. So I astral travel into a pre situation and see that all being done well.
Oh, wow.
So I go through the surgery in my mind and in my heart as a practitioner. I hold that space as it's already done and everything's fine. And I literally did that. And when I was done with that, I heard clearly in my head, this is going to go so smooth that her surgery is going to cut the time in half because it was already done.
Wow.
So you're jumping a timeline of sorts by being able to do this. And anybody can do this. You don't have to be a psychic to do this. You can just look at the thing on the YouTube and say, oh, this is what they're going to do for mom or dad or my kid or whatever. And it's all fine. It's all fine. It's all fine. What we want to do is put in, it's all fine. It's all fine in accordance with how it's supposed to turn out.
Right.
Okay. So by me saying it's all fine, I'm not adjusting as it should, but I'm seeing the process go fine, right?
Right. You're not putting an outcome out there. You're just saying everything's going to be fine.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so then it made the ease and the grace of the actual surgery that happened, 10 hours later or 6 hours later, go super smooth. And the doctor came out and sat down in front of me and he goes, "That was the fastest I've ever done that surgery in my life, and everything went smooth as silk." And I'm like, great, because it was already done, right? So we can all do this. We're all very fascinating human beings. And I want to reiterate again, if a person died on the table, they were supposed to. It's not that we failed, right? I mean, if the person did die on the table, it isn't a guilt thing that I was involved or not involved. It doesn't work like that. That's a higher calling and a higher exit points. So these are all things to take into consideration when we're holding that space for the procedure and holding the space for it to go quote unquote well.
Right. Right.
So
I know it's always a hard situation. It feels terrible for us if somebody passes away or dies on the table. But again, you're not in control of that. It is.
And why would we get to? They have something else to do, right? I mean, they got somewhere to go.
Yeah, maybe something really cool.
Right? Off to Hawaii, I finally go. Okay, well, any questions on all that? That was kind of a doozer.
Well, it's a lot. And I think that understanding the energy of the body, which you have some information on your website and your book, especially your first book, it talks a lot about, the energy of the body, that those are great resources.
And the Energy Healer's Book of Dying, my first book, and they're both on my website at sworthley.com. But that first book has a lot on how the body shuts down and transmutes. And so that's a really great one. And then my second one just literally launched 2 days ago. So Confident. Yay. And you just
got mine today.
Yay. Confident Empath. It is out and about, and we're launching as we speak. And this is actually a really good resource in terms of understanding the mechanisms and the techniques and the skill set of having that confident energy field and knowing that I'm in command and control of the energy that's transferring in and out. And this is a critical book, in my opinion, for anybody walking this planet, but for sure somebody that is dealing with, having the potential of that field being hijacked or infiltrated, or the body templates changing. So both of those books are really great resources, but the Confident Empath definitely gives you, the A, Bs and Cs, 1, 2s and 3s of how to actually do the work. So I'm very proud of it, and I'm excited.
It's exciting. So, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. All righty. Well, on behalf of Kim and I, thank you, everybody. Share this video if you choose, subscribe, send it on so that we can share the love of the clients that give me the opportunity to share their story. So thanks a lot. And until we see you next time, Cosmic Hugs. Okay.